This wasn't a long, drawn-out battle with the terminal disease. What happened seemed like it had happened in just a moment. In less than 24 hours, Jesus had been taken from the disciples, sentenced, tried, sentenced, and crucified. The jubilant songs of Palm Sunday must have seemed like a distant echo from a far corner of the universe at this point, as the world had collapsed in on the friends of Jesus. And not only that, but Jesus had breathed his last breath just moments before darkness set in on the Sabbath day. Jesus and his friends could only get Jesus off the cross and into the tomb before they had to go back to their places of lodging and observe and honor the Jewish day of rest. For any of you who have lost a loved one, had to plan the funeral, you know that while all the details and planning can get a bit tedious at times, it's at least helpful to be able to do something and be distracted, at least for a moment, from the grief that you're experiencing. But Jesus' disciples didn't have time to pay their last respects, prepare his body properly for burial, or actively really grieve in any tangible way. All they could do was sit and wait. We could use words like tired and sad and afraid to describe what was going on in their hearts, but I think probably a phrase like they'd had the world crash in on them and been left gasping for air is probably a better description of what was going on in whatever rooms the disciples were staying in during that Sabbath day. And as the women approached the tomb on that Sunday morning, even as the sun rose in the sky, I imagine they couldn't feel its warmth on their skin. And as the sky brightened for a new day, there was still a dark cloud that was lingering over their heads. Maybe they ate breakfast that morning, but it did nothing to appease the emptiness that they felt inside. And maybe they had conversation on the road, but the words did nothing to fill the void that they were experiencing. The only bit of conversation that we know of among these women on their way to the tomb that morning was really a logistical question. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? I imagine that was probably just for them about as manageable of a task as they could take on for that day. Certainly easier than having to come to terms with a friend, not only a friend, but the one whom you believed God had sent to save the world, being taken from you. And so they focus on that question. Who will roll away the stone? Concrete, immediate, tangible. Something that either they or someone else could do on that day. Move the stone away, anoint Jesus' body, and then move on. But as they approach the tomb, they look up and see that their one simple task for the day has already been taken care of. And that one simple question that they were focusing on is suddenly shoved out by a bunch of other more difficult questions. Who rolled away the stone and why? And as they enter into the tomb, their confusion gives way to fear as they see a young man sitting in the tomb where Jesus' body was supposed to have been. We know they're afraid because he tells them, "Do not be afraid." He knows exactly what they're looking for. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. And then, with the man's next words, the world that had crashed in on these women and the disciples on Good Friday now begins to shift like a tilt-a-whirl under their feet. He is risen. He is not here. What do you do with that? I mean, for us it seems very natural because we've all gathered for Easter. Of course, it's Jesus. He was raised from the dead. We know that. But imagine if it was your friend whose loss and absence you are just beginning to come to terms with, and you're told, "No, he's not dead. I know you saw him die. I know you saw him enter the tomb. He is now alive and walking around." Imagine what that does. To have one of the most basic truths that we can hang our hats on, that when someone dies, that they are gone. Imagine having that torn out from under you. If they were experiencing any fear of any follow-up persecution from the Jewish leaders or the Romans after Jesus' death, that fear must have paled in comparison to having their world turned completely upside down before their very eyes. And so we can excuse the women if they delayed acting on the command to go and tell his disciples. We can excuse them if they just needed a moment for the world to stop spinning and to come to terms with this completely new reality. And the one observation I want to make this morning about the story of these women and the Easter story is that the question that they brought to the tomb that morning, who will roll away the stone for us? That question is completely dissolved and forgotten by the announcement that Jesus is risen from the dead. See, the resurrection of Jesus changes all the questions. It really changes everything. We have our own questions. We have things in our lives that need to be taken care of. We all have things that weigh on us, whether they be difficult relationships, or jobs, or not having a job, finances. We all have things that in a given day we focus our time and our energy and our thoughts and our emotions around these particular questions of life. And I think that subconsciously we tend to focus on the manageable questions. The questions that we can answer. The problems that at least we can find someone else to fix. This is what counselors and therapists call a presenting issue. The things that we vocalize and are willing to say, this is what I need help with. This is what's wrong with my life. For the women, the presenting issue on Easter morning was who will roll away the stone? You can fill in the blank for your own lives. What are the real issues and questions and burdens that you face and carry on a daily basis? But this morning we are here to see that the resurrection changes all of our questions. Well, the women focused that morning on the stone, on that manageable task. Easter morning draws them behind the stone. And our stones, whatever they may be, whatever the things are that are on our minds and that need to be fixed or solved, our stones may need to be rolled away. But this morning we recognize that God is doing something so much bigger. You see, as any counselor or therapist knows, the presenting issue, the question that someone comes into you with, is almost never the most important question. It's almost never the deepest problem in the scope of what we truly, most deeply need. And if we really trust God, if we believe that God is good and that God loves us, as the scriptures tell us, then we need to let him take us from focusing on the stone and draw us behind the stone to what he's doing there. God may roll away our stones, our financial problems, our broken relationships, our job situations. He may roll those away and take care of them. But it's not because they are our biggest problems, any more than the stone being in front of the tomb was the women's biggest problem on that morning. God rolls away our stones simply to make way for resurrection to happen in our lives. Now, to be very clear, resurrection is not the moral of the story. This is not a message where you can go home and say, well, Pastor John told us this morning, don't sweat the small stuff, because there are bigger things. That's not what the resurrection is. The resurrection is the definitive moment in human history Resurrection is what God is doing in the world. Jesus was the beginning of a new creation. Just as God brought beauty and order and life and goodness into the empty void in creation, God is doing it again. In a world where sin and death and turning away from God and darkness have drawn us away from that beauty and goodness of God that He meant us for. Mark makes it very clear that the resurrection occurs on the first day of the week. That was the day, the first day, that God spoke light into darkness. That He began His creative work in Genesis 1. And it is on the first day that God begins His new creation with Jesus. To the emptiness and darkness of sin and death of this world, God is bringing through Christ and through His resurrection life and light. The cross puts an end to one way of life, to one way of thinking, to one whole line of questions. And the resurrection begins an entirely new way of thinking about ourselves, of thinking about God, of thinking about our lives. It introduces an entirely new set of questions for us to ask. A set of questions that we can't answer ourselves, but that God can bring truth into. We now don't have to just ask the questions, how can I survive? How can I get through? We can ask the question, how is God bringing resurrection in my heart? How is God newly creating things around me? Where is there chaos that God is bringing beauty? Where is there disorder and dysfunction where God is bringing order and goodness? Where is there emptiness where God is bringing shalom, peace, wholeness? And the resurrection question, instead of working from the outside in, as we usually do, you see, the questions we kind of ask, the way we pose the question is, you know, if God takes care of my finances, or if God takes care of my family, or heals this broken relationship or that, then I will be happy inside. The resurrection, the new creation question, begins from the inside and works its way out. It begins behind the stone and then enters out into the world. The new creation began when the dead body of Jesus, lying there in the tomb, received the breath of new life. When Jesus' dead, crucified body was transformed into a resurrection body, and then it walked out of the tomb and into the world. And the resurrection community that we know as the church began when these women went into the tomb and heard this message, He is risen, He is not here, and then were sent out into the world to share this good news. And resurrection and new creation happens in our lives. When we come to God with all of these questions about who will roll away the stone and how will it take place, and allow Him to put the stone aside and draw us behind the stone into the tomb to hear the message, Christ is risen, and be sent to share this message of hope and life with the world. Verse 8 in Mark 16 ends, for us, Mark's gospel as we know it. If you open your Bibles and look, you will see two other potential endings to Mark, neither of which I think were what anything Mark actually wrote. If Mark had anything more to say, we've lost it. It's not available to us. His gospel ends with these words, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Mark ends his gospel, for us at least, in the women's moment of disorientation, of having the world completely flipped upside down. And we are drawn into that story right there. And God asks us, "You've heard the news. How then will you live? How will you live in light of Jesus' resurrection? Will you let the resurrection, the risen Christ, turn your world upside down? So you can still ask the other questions of your life. You can still ask, how can we make ends meet? How do we raise our kids? How can I keep loving my spouse? We can keep asking these questions, but ask them in light of resurrection. How can we make ends meet? Knowing that Jesus is alive and moving in this world and bringing abundance and hope and goodness to it. How do we raise our kids? Knowing that what God is really wanting to do in their lives is bring new creation into them so that they can shine the light of Jesus into the world. How do I continue loving my spouse? Knowing that a God who can conquer sin and even death can certainly overcome the things that are between you, breaking relationships in your life. These are the questions that the resurrection asks of us. And if we allow God to take us behind the stone, to hear the news, and to reorder our lives and our hearts and our minds, that is when the new creation begins in us. Friends, God can roll away the stones of your life. And He can do so much more. Let's pray. Risen Christ, we still live in this old, broken creation. And God, we have our questions and our needs. This morning, let us hear that you are alive. That whatever our deepest needs and problems be, you have overcome them. You transcend them. Lord, help us to be willing to enter that tomb. To see that you are not there. To see that you are risen. And when we leave that tomb, open our eyes so that we can see where you are alive and moving in the world. Help us to live in this community, this resurrection community, and ask these resurrection questions and experience your new creation from within us, working its way all around us. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.